Hi, I'm Mark Brody, and this is the Friday Newscap Podcast. Each week, we review the biggest stories with experts, reporters, and commentators to put the news in perspective. Here's this week's episode.
I've dealt with a lot of con artists in my life, and I put Donald Trump in that. He, you know, talks a great game, but he really doesn't carry through, and I'm not sure that, you know, he's really out for the best interests of those in our country over his own advantages that he creates for himself.
I think we need to stand up for safeguarding our elections, and so we'll see what comes out of this.
You kind of just see a close race where the overall registration edge that Republicans have in Arizona makes it just barely tilt red, but really so close that either campaign could win it.
Would have been the wrong thing. Would have been a political disaster for the Republicans, but more importantly, would have been hurtful for the American people.
This is not providing any process improvement or discernible benefit. It simply grinds the program down and makes life more difficult for both parents and the administration of the program.
I, like many in this community, was alarmed to read the accusations from the DOJ of racial disparities in our policing. This finding is unacceptable. So we will take the necessary steps to ensure every community member is treated with dignity and respect.
And with me to talk about VP Kamala Harris's trip to the border, Governor Hobbs getting a chance to name a state Supreme Court justice, and more, are Matthew Benson of the firm Veritas. Matt, good morning.
Good morning.
And former state lawmaker Aaron Lieberman. Aaron, good morning to you.
Happy to be here.
So immigration, Aaron, has been kind of a liability for Vice President Kamala Harris as she's running for president now. Is it possible to make a dent in that by visiting Douglas?
Well, I just wonder what Republicans are going to talk about once she's gone to the border, because that's been the biggest talking point is, you know, where's she been? What's she doing? I think she has a really good answer on this, which is, you know, they tried to get something done politically. It would have actually solved the problem. And as she says, President Trump wanted to run on a problem, not actually have a solution. I think it's a fair point. What took so long? Clearly, the executive order has had a massive impact. You know, the illegal crossings are way down. Should it have come sooner? I think absolutely. But I think she's at least kind of fighting to a draw. What's really happened on the immigration thing, honestly, is the Democrats have largely adopted the Republican position. Both parties, if you look at what they're talking about, are really for pro-strengthening borders. Democrats actually want to get something done. And it seems like from the presidential politics perspective, Trump just wants to keep talking about it to keep it alive as an issue.
Matt, safe to say Republicans will find something to talk about on immigration, even if Harris is at the border?
Oh, there's no doubt. I think it's a mistake for Harris to be out here going to the border. I think every minute she spends talking about illegal immigration and border security is a lost opportunity for her, because the record that the Biden and Harris administration have on this issue is so abysmal. And Donald Trump he'd love to have the focus of this campaign in the final 40 days be on the border. And so I just think Kamala Harris is talking about an issue that's a loser for her in a state that she is unlikely to win. And so I think it's a mistake for her.
Is there something to be said? We hear a lot about, especially recently, candidates going to places where they know they're not going to win, but maybe try to lose by less. Is this an effort, maybe a worthwhile effort or not a worthwhile effort, to try to at least sort of stem the tide a little bit for Harris?
Illegal immigration has been her weakest issue. And so if we were having this conversation 2 months ago, weeks and weeks and weeks ago, fine, I could understand it. But at this point, after not visiting the border for so long, now at the last minute to go do a photo op in Douglas, I just think it comes across craven and politically opportunistic. And I don't think voters are going to buy it.
She's taking a page out of Trump's playbook. Look, in my neighborhood, Paradise Valley, there's a lot of Republicans for Harris signs going up. And the reality is that's who kind of decides our statewide elections. Those independents, those I call them quite literally, and they got me elected to the legislature, country club Republicans, fiscally conservative, socially more moderate. I think they want to feel like Harris cares about this issue. It's super important on the Republican side. We see that polling again and again and again. I think she tries to check the box and kind of get over that and neutralize it a little bit. Some of the polling numbers on the economy, she's come way back. It's been really interesting to see. She's kind of got that to an even. And then you're kind of left with the personality stuff. And, you know, most people don't like Donald Trump's personality. They feel like he's kind of a crazy, weird guy. And if she can neutralize the things where he's had this natural advantage and then make it be about Donald Trump and how kind of crazy he is, I think that's a winning hand. And I hope she'll squeak by just like President Biden did here in Arizona.
But Aaron, to Matt's point, like doing this now with what, 5 or 6 weeks left until the election, does that do anything? Does it even check the box? I mean, is it like, is this an opportunity, a missed opportunity, as Matt was saying, maybe to talk about issues that she's stronger on where she might not get a lot of bang for the buck going to the border at this point?
Look, politics is about, you know, showing up and getting your picture taken and showing people what issues you care about by where you're spending your time. She's showing that she cares about it. I do think, I mean, this is, I just laugh because was it politically craven when Trump was at the border last week? You know what I mean? Like, everyone's trying to do the same thing. And the reality of the situation is I think she's trying to get it to closer to neutral, to your point, and then give people permission to vote for her. My wife, who is not super into politics, I will say, has a theory that where people used to on the polls underreport their Trump vote, that we might be heading towards an underreported Harris vote, where there's a lot of people who just don't like Trump enough but don't totally feel comfortable voting for Harris. If this gets them over that hurdle, it could be the difference in her winning Arizona.
Hmm. All right. So, Matt, Aaron kind of alluded to polls, and we've kind of seen them all over the place. We obviously know polls are a snapshot in time, and depending on how the questions are asked and who's doing it and number of voters, margin of error, all of those are variables. But I'm curious what you make at this point, almost the beginning of October. We've seen polls that show former President Trump up by 5. We've seen polls that show Vice President Harris up by a couple. Like, what do you make of sort of these polls being all over the place on the presidential level?
Well, in terms of Arizona, I think the general consensus, if you average these things out, is that Trump is ahead by a few points in Arizona. There was a poll out today that said he's up 5. I don't know whether that's accurate, but I do suspect he is up by a few. And I think that is bolstered by looking at the other polls and seeing where he has made up ground against the Democrats, particularly among Hispanic voters and Hispanic men, and that is a big problem in the Sun Belt for Kamala Harris. So I would suspect that Trump is in the pole position here.
Aaron, do you agree? If you had to be one of these candidates in Arizona right now, is it better to be Trump?
Just to be clear, I couldn't spend a minute inside the skin of Donald Trump, so I'm always going to say Harris in that one. But I think the reality is this is a lean right state, and a more moderate, pragmatic Republican would win the state going away. That's not who Donald Trump is. And it's again, it's those kind of chaotic personality issues, zigzagging. By the way, he's also really old. I mean, I don't know if anyone's, you know, kept up. Bill Clinton, I think, is 2 years younger than him. He was elected president 30 years ago. I think a lot of that's starting to show, and that's what's putting the state in play, quite honestly. You know, Biden eked it out by the narrowest of margins, and I think Harris has a chance. Harris has actually been running, from an economic perspective, a much more conservative campaign than Biden was. She's not talking about wealth taxes and all those other things. She's talking about a tax cut for 100 million Americans. She's talking about, I think there was a whole thing on starting small businesses and tax credits. She's actually playing more of that centrist economic music right now than Joe Biden was, for whatever reason. It's kind of been interesting to see. To the extent to which anybody follows that and gets into that minutia is a whole nother question, but I think she definitely has a chance.
All right. So, Matt, we talked about the polls for president kind of all over the place. Polls in the U.S. Senate race are less all over the place. Most, if not all of them, have shown that Ruben Gallego has at least a lead, oftentimes outside the margin of error, although not always. Do you see this race maybe a little less unpredictable at this point?
Yeah, 100%. I think that the polling suggests that Ruben Gallego is up at least 5 points. And I won't be surprised if he wins by 6 to 8. So, I mean, you know, if Trump wins Arizona by a handful of points, it seems hard to believe that he would outperform Carrie Lake by that much. But, man, people seem to have really made up their minds about her after this campaign and the previous campaign for governor. I just don't think there are that many undecided voters when it comes to Carrie Lake. And she has just bled a lot of support among the, you know, the old McCain voters, of which there are many.
Yeah.
And so that is really hurting her. And Ruben Gallego has run a smart campaign. He's a combat Marine, and he is outspending her and outraising her about 3+1. So that's a huge problem if you're Carrie Lake.
Do you think that Carrie Lake, I mean, obviously, once the campaign is over, there'll be a lot of time to talk about who did what right and wrong. But I'm wondering, you know, there's a lot of talk several months ago about Carrie Lake figuring that she would have a lot of outside money to help supplement what she was able to raise. And as some of those polls came in and showed Gallego with consistent leads, it seems like some of that money maybe didn't come through to the extent she thought it would. And I wonder if maybe she was a little too reliant, or her campaign has become a little too reliant on outside money as opposed to money it is bringing in.
I think it's incumbent on every candidate to prove their viability. And she wasn't able to do that. And the cascade of polls showing her down anywhere from 5, 10, 13 points, you know, the Republicans nationally are trying to find out where's the best bang for our buck, and it's been in these other states.
That money is ruthless. I mean, they look at a poll and say, okay, they're making choices around where to invest and where not to invest. And she's clearly on the wrong side of that. I personally just desperately hope she continues running for elective office in Arizona. I think she'd be great for governor for next year. She's fantastic at winning Republican.
Don't speak that into the universe.
Carrie, just keep going. Three's a charm. She's great at winning Republican primaries and really struggles in the main election. It hasn't been a great fundraiser either, but it just gets to people are making really cold calculations. We're seeing that on the other side now. There's an incredible amount of money flooding in here for Amit Shah, for example, because he's right in it, like, you know, could beat Schweiker for the first time. And we're seeing millions and millions of dollars of ad buys by those same folks who are looking and saying, where can we make the biggest difference? That money's coming from another market where, so, you know, someone's further behind, and they're triaging and putting the chips where they think they can win.
Aaron, do you agree with Matt's assessment that the race for Senate seems to be, at least at this point, Gallego's to lose?
Yeah, for sure. I think Congressman Gallego has run a great race to Matt's point. He's really leaned into his biography on as a veteran, which he really deserves. I mean, he's run a very, very smart race, and he's running against a candidate who just can't get out of her own way in terms of getting to the middle. And I think that combination of things has been has been great for Congressman Gallego, and I think he'll be a fantastic senator for Arizonans.
Matt, let me start with you. The Supreme Court Justice Robert Brutnell says that he is going to be retiring before the mandatory retirement age. He'll be stepping down later this fall, which gives Governor Katie Hobbs a chance to appoint somebody to the state Supreme Court. And this is the first time that a Democratic governor-appointed justice will be on the court in a number of years.
Yeah, I mean, you go back to Janet Napolitano, right? So that's a long time ago since the Democrats have made an appointment to the high court. So I think that'll be fascinating. This happens against the backdrop of a couple justices, in particular, Bullock and King, mm-hmm. that are the subject of this, you know, high profile effort to get them not retained, and a ballot measure out there separately. So, yeah, I mean, potentially you could see multiple Supreme Court picks coming the governor's way.
Aaron, how big of a deal is this for Governor Hobbs to be able to nominate somebody to the court? I mean, it's obviously not going to change the balance of power in terms of conservative thinking versus more liberal thinking, but it seems like a fairly significant thing.
It's huge, and it's been a long time coming for sure. It'll be interesting to see if she gets some more, because that's when you can really start to get things in the middle, when you have some of those justices who might be open and you've got two or three votes who are willing to look at things a little bit differently. I'm laughing because I've seen so many of those signs that say keep politics out of the judiciary, like, you know, in the retention of Bullock and King. And it's kind of politics that got them into this mess in the beginning. So it'll be really interesting to see. I haven't seen polling. I don't even know how you could poll on those judicial retention numbers. It'd be really tough to find out. But it all gets back to the issue of choice and the decisions that the Supreme Court made, which is what has put those justices on the front lines of this. It's not quite a recall effort. It's complicated to say, a non-retention effort.
Right.
But it's gotten way more attention than anyone that I've seen in the time I've been following Arizona politics.
Aaron, if you were advising Governor Hobbs, what would you tell her to look for in a prospective Supreme Court justice?
You know, I people might be surprised to hear me say I really appreciate John Roberts in this one regard, but he made that incredible quote of saying our job is to call balls and strikes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I think you look for, someone who's actually going to look at the Constitution of Arizona and not be guided by their own political view. And frankly, I think that will move us much more to the middle than where we've been, where we've seen things. I mean, honestly, in the case of Bullock, an ideologue, the head of the Goldwater Institute, it's very, very clear he had an agenda. And I think one of our currently serving members of the judiciary in state courts and other things like that would be a great pick for something like this. So it's getting it out of the realms of politics and getting into the realms of you know, making good judicial decisions.
Matt, what are those conversations like in a governor's office? I mean, you worked for Governor Brewer for a number of years. What are those conversations like when you're trying to figure out who is the right person to put on the bench?
It's an extensive vetting process. And typically you're looking at people who have already served at various levels of the judiciary system. So they've been vetted, but being vetted for the Supreme Court is a different level. And so they're looking at everything, just trying to make sure that this is somebody who's going to pass muster, who is going to be where you think they are politically. And you know, the other thing is, like, I think you want to make sure it's somebody who's built to be in that position for the long haul.
I wanted to ask you about, like, is how big of a consideration is age in this?
It's a big consideration.
Because you want them there for decades, right?
When you asked Aaron what he would be looking for in an appointment for the Supreme Court, I was thinking youth. Because you want somebody who's going to be in that role for a long time.
And, right.
You know, Governor Hobbs getting one appointment to the court isn't going to make a big difference in the court's direction. She has to have a full two terms in order to really put her stamp on that court. And so that's going to be the question.
Do either of you, Aaron mentioned that, like, getting polling on the retention or non-retention is really, really difficult. Do either of you have a gut feeling about how that's going to go? Like, if either of those justices will be not retained or not? Aaron, do you have a sense on that?
It gets to how much it can break through. I mean, we've seen the polling numbers on the pro-choice ballot initiative. It's overwhelmingly supported by a majority of Arizonans. And if people connect King and Bullock to the anti-choice side of that, which is really what has stirred up a lot of this, I think they could lose. It's the ballot is going to be like a small book this year with all of the ballot initiatives. And, you know, there was drop off in our state representative races. We were trying to get people to pay attention down that way. By the time you get to judges, it's really hard. So it kind of gets to who has that passion, who has that motivation. And we'll see if, you know, the pro-choice folks like myself are able to connect that and crash through to get people to vote not to retain them.
Do you have a gut feeling on this one, Matt?
I don't, but I 100% agree with Aaron that the question is whether Democrats are successful in connecting the abortion initiative support and getting those same voters to not retain Bullock and King and Republicans to just sort of leave that whole section blank. That's going to be the calculus.
Sure. So, Aaron, you mentioned that the Abortion Access Initiative has support in Arizona. There was a New York Times Siena College poll this week that found 58% support for Prop 139. I'm wondering, like, is that, given where we are in the cycle and given potential drop-off as we get toward the bottom of the ballot, is that high enough to make the supporters of this comfortable?
I think so. I mean, that's a pretty good number, honestly, for these types of initiatives going in at this point. I would be shocked if we wake up and we don't have a constitutionally protected right for a woman to make her own healthcare choices around abortion here in Arizona.
Matt, do you think that's high enough?
Well, you only have to win by one.
You 50% plus one. That's,
you know,
true.
I think that is one of the few issues on election night that we're going to know very early the result. We may know the result with that first drop of ballots. I suspect that it's going to win somewhere in that 60-40, 65-35 range.
Okay. Guys, there have been a lot of debates going on as we get closer to early ballots going out. And one of the ones that we saw this week was for Maricopa County Sheriff, which in the past has been a very high-profile election, especially when Joe Arpaio was running. Slightly less so now with all of the other sort of big races and initiatives that we've talked about taking up some of the oxygen. But, Matt, I'm curious what you made of this race between Jerry Sheridan and Camp here, because it seems like it's almost less about what they want to do and more about, at least based on the debates, more about who they are and what they have done in their past.
Oh, no, 100%. And they both have so much baggage. So, I mean, it's really fascinating. I mean, you've got Sheridan and his connection with Arpaio and the lawsuits and the racial profiling and all of that. And then you've got the Democrat and they, you know, with the after they left office, the accusations about sexually harassing, a subordinate and the text messages and all of that. And they've only been a Democrat for like 5 minutes, right? They were a Republican previously. So it's quite a circus.
Is this the kind of, you mentioned people, Kamala Harris trying to make the presidential race about who Donald Trump is. It seems like both of these sheriff's candidates are trying to do the same thing about their opponent.
Yeah. And it's really tough in races like this that don't get that much attention. You know what I mean? You got to have a lot of money to communicate, to be able to do the paid communication and everything else to make people understand these personality issues. It'll be interesting to see. I thought we just had a fantastic sheriff for the last, few years, who was kind of right where you need to be as a Democrat to win this race, a very middle of the road guy in Paul Penzone. It'll be interesting to see kind of what happens here. I agree with you. For whatever reason, it doesn't feel like the stakes are so high like it used to with Crazy Joe Arpaio.
Well, why do you think that is? Because, I've heard some Democrats saying, like, if you vote for the Republican, you're basically putting Arpaio back in office, which would seem to, you would think it would maybe start some alarm bells going off among Democrats.
Yeah, it just doesn't seem to have broken through. And I think, frankly, most people are worried about the crazy guy at the top of the ticket now, and it's taken a lot of the oxygen in the room. And, truthfully, people forget the Arpaio craziness was starting to be a long time ago. I think it was 2018, I believe, when Penzone won, I think for the first time, maybe 2016.
I think it was 2016. Yeah, maybe Arpaio lost when Trump won. I think.
And somewhere I believe Joe Arpaio will continue running for mayor of Fountain Hills or whatever he's up to these days. But that's a long time in politics. I mean, we're getting eight years away. So I think some of that craziness has kind of faded away.
What do you think about that, Matt? I mean, do you think people in Maricopa County have forgotten what Arpaio was as sheriff?
I don't know if they've forgotten, but you're right. It is an eternity ago. And so I think people are focused on other things. There's higher profile races, and it's very difficult to break through when you're talking about races for president and Senate and all these very close congressional swing races. All of the ballot measures, this race for a county office is kind of playing second fiddle.
All right, Aaron, we got about 45 seconds left. You are dressed in Diamondbacks colors today.
Go D-backs. It's a huge, huge. We should sell out Chase Field tonight as watching the D-backs try to get into the playoffs.
Do they make the playoffs?
I think they make the playoffs. It may take a Braves loss on the doubleheader on Monday to make it happen.
Matt, I won't ask you about the Rockies. I'm sorry.
They're not going to make the playoffs.
Maybe get them next year. D-backs, playoffs? What do you think?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, fair enough. Matthew Benson, Aaron Lieberman, thanks so much for the conversation. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Go D-backs.
You've been listening to the Friday Newscap from KJZZ's The Show. It's an original podcast recapping the week's biggest stories with experts, commentators, and reporters. You can get the full show podcast at podcast.kjzz.org. I'm Mark Brody. Thanks for listening.